Good morning. My name is Oswald Saw. I'm the president for MAPS, which stands for Man or Power Solution, and also the host of MAPS Family Matters Show. MAPS is a not-for-profit charity that provides counseling services to individuals through our Healthy Relations program. MAPS also operates transitional housing for men recovering from various addictions. And very exciting news, this fall we're also going to be opening up transitional house for women as well. This is actually our first Family Marriage Show for 2021. It's also our first show in a couple of years. This bi-weekly show is focused on discussing issues that affect families and communities. Just as important, we also discuss solutions and initiatives that help to address these issues. This show can also be seen on your Shaw local channel. In the near future, we'll also have a podcast available for the MAPS website and a summary in the Nickel Belt News. Today, I am pleased to have as our guest Special Constable Rob Cleveland, who is our Indigenous Community Constable. Rob has been an RCMP officer for 10 years. The previous 10 years, he was a member of the RCMP Auxiliary. Rob's main focus is community policing and is also tasked with community relations. Over the years, Rob has also been a very, very active volunteer in the community. Today, Rob will be discussing issues around gender-based violence, also called domestic violence, and the Moosehead Campaign. Rob, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to be our guest today.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Oswald.
So, you know what, we'll start right away. Rob, can you give our audience a general overview of the issue of gender-based violence and how the RCMP prioritizes this issue?
Okay, it's kind of a lengthy topic, but I have brought a few notes for us to go by. Yeah. So overall, the overview of our issues are the RCMP defines violence within the relationships as acts or threat of physical or sexual assault of a partner of an ongoing or past intimate relationship by another, despite their marital status or living arrangements at the time of the assault or threat. So the majority of domestic violence victims here in Canada is 80%, and that was provided by StatsCan. Violence within the relationship has distinctive dynamics not found in other violent crime. There is a high likelihood that the violence will become more frequent and more severe over time. Complaints of domestic violence are also given a number one priority regarding our police response. And the root causes are numerous and may include poverty, isolation, cultural issues, drugs, alcohol, addiction, economic and or financial stress, and personal trauma, i.e. abuser who was abused themselves.
Great. So when we say it has a zero tolerance, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So anything from what you would see, and we'll be talking about different forms of domestic violence, but it could be as much as a shove to, of course, some of the more violent incidents.
Unwanted, yes.
Exactly. Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. You know what? I was looking at the RCMP stats on domestic violence over the last 5 years. Can you tell us a little bit about those numbers? What do you think they're telling us?
They're pretty consistent across the board. From 2016 on, you're in the 200 file range. Anywhere from in 2016, we had 247 reports of domestic violence, reported, not unreported. 262 in 2017, 283 in 2018, 2019, 280, and in 2020, we have 268. So fairly consistent across the board in terms of calls for service in regarding domestic violence.
So when we, and these are just the cases that have been reported. Do you, in your opinion, and I know it is a hard thing to, it's a hard question, but do you think that this is only a fraction of the actual instance happening, or do you think increasingly we're seeing more people reporting?
In my opinion, I think it's fairly consistent in terms of the numbers, but many go unreported due to a number of variety of reasons that they may have, and i.e. No place to go.
No place to go.
No place to go.
And for numbers that are in the mid-200s, based on our population, is that a large amount?
A lot of those numbers could also be repeat files as well. So, yeah. In one particular grouping, it could be maybe that has occurred in that household a number of times. So that would change the numbers a bit in terms of frequency.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when we talk about the different forms of abuse, because I think we want to clarify this, because I think there's some forms of abuse that people don't really think of abuse. So can you go down what are some of the different forms of abuse that you've seen?
Sure. Some of the ones that that I'm familiar with are obviously the physical abuse that we see, the sexual abuse, the emotional abuse, psychological, and also the financial abuse. Okay. Where such as paychecks are being withheld, money isn't being given to the spouse to provide food, clothing for their children in the family, and is spent elsewhere, and so that is kind of being withheld.
Okay. So some forms of mental abuse, what are some examples of that?
Making threats to harm someone. Okay. That, breaking things or hurting your pets or threatening to do so, stalking, bullying, those kind of things. You think about Facebook, you think about social media, how those kind of things can be placed out there and for the whole world to know.
Yep.
And, those are definitely forms of emotional and psychological abuse.
It's interesting, too, because when we talk about gender-based violence, domestic violence, we always think of more of the physical part. And in fact, I think quite often we talk about actual punching, hitting, so on. But, it's something that escalates from what I've seen. It may start as a shove. It may start as a push. But what we're talking about, and if you can maybe clarify this a bit, is what we see as a slow escalation. It could start as maybe psychological abuse that could go into physical abuse. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, some of the things, it's all unwanted, but, it can start off something very, very small and begin to escalate, as you mentioned, such as hitting, pinching, slapping, pushing, punching, kicking, burning, mm-hmm. shooting, stabbing, or cutting of the individual, right? So, yeah.
Okay. Now, here in Northern Manitoba, gender-based violence, is a huge issue. It affects everyone, but give some statistics and the demographic group where we're seeing the most affected.
If I can just back up for a minute,
sure.
I wanted to just share some other forms of abuse.
Oh, yes.
That such as your spouse humiliating you, insulting you, ignoring you, screaming at you, calling you names, isolating from you and your family and friends. Telling you what you can do and where you cannot go and who you can be with. And then the other one is refusing to let you have money.
Okay.
So those are all controlling kind of issues in terms of domestic violence. So I just wanted to mention those as other forms of abuse.
Yes, thank you for that. Yep.
And if you could just reiterate that question.
Yeah. So here in the North, what are the stats telling us and are there certain demographic groups that are most affected?
Okay, so First Nation Inuit women experience higher rates of family violence than non-Aboriginal women. Aboriginal women are 3.5 times more likely to suffer from a form of spousal violence than non-Aboriginal women. Aboriginal women who have experienced family violence, 87% were victims of physical abuse and 57% were physically assaulted. 21% of Aboriginal people reported that a current or ex-spouse had assaulted them in the past 5 years, compared to 6% of non-Aboriginal population. And almost one half of Aboriginal victims of spousal violence experience potentially life-threatening violence at the hands of a current or ex-partner, compared to 31% of non-Aboriginal victims of spousal victims.
And are these long-term trends that you've seen? Is this things that have been happening for a number of years?
Many years.
Many years, eh? Okay. Before we go into some of the impacts, I just want to remind everyone that you're watching the Family Matters show, and we're talking to Special Constable Rob Cleveland about gender-based violence. So, Rob, what do you feel are the contributing factors causing this, and what are some of the long-term impacts of it?
So some of the roots of violence and the impacts are such things as colonization, as we're very, very familiar with, racism, isolation, and residential schools.
Okay.
A number of our roots of violence, or where they stem from.
And with the racism, and I think we'll be talking a little bit more about this. Tell our audience, just real quickly, with the colonization and so on, what's the cause and effect of that?
Well, obviously we can see the effect that has been passed on for generations. And the whole discovery piece and what has that led to, and the impacts it's had on our folks here in Canada.
Yeah, and I know with residential school, and we've talked about this before, quite often it stems from some of the abuses that happen there, and the detachment of kids from their families. That all has had an intergenerational impact. Okay, thank you. So what are some of the effects of an unbroken, unhealthy, abusive home?
Well, some of the challenges here that we have are fostering personal and family community healing, mm-hmm. eliminating poverty, obviously, mm-hmm. Promoting economic development, ensuring adequate housing and transportation for a number of our folks, enhancing education, improving employment opportunities, preserving culture and language, and fostering traditions and spirituality.
What are some of the impacts of children and people experiencing violence or witnessing violence?
There's definitely a continuum, mm-hmm. you know, and it just seems to pass on, because that's the environment that you were raised in, and that's what you see, and you think that is the norm,
right,
where you go visit other communities or other folks where you don't see that, and so it's a real struggle. What was normal in your maybe home setting is different than in other settings, and that you don't do those kind of activities and in terms of domestic violence and treating people with respect and dignity.
There's one saying that I remember, that when it comes to some children, that at times some children feel safer out on the streets than they do at times in their own homes. That has led to issues such as gangs, joining gangs, drug addictions, teen pregnancies. I think it just goes on that list of the different impacts. So what do we need to do, Rob, in your opinion, as a society, to try and start to, and this is a huge issue, and sometimes people, I feel, think that's so huge, there's no way to even make any headway on it. But what are some things that you feel that can be done to start to address this?
There's a program called the Moose Hide Campaign, mm-hmm. and we can definitely speak about that. But it is a grassroots program started by Paul and his daughter, Raven Lissette, back in 2011. Mm-hmm. And they had the moose hide campaign where 400 moose hides were collected and gathered from hunters, not only for their hides, but for food for their families. And It's a program that was introduced about men and young boys standing up against violence for women and girls in Canada.
And I know that you have been very active in presenting information on the Moosehide campaign. Tell us a little bit about your experience so far, going into schools and so on.
Oh, I mean, going into schools has just been a pleasure, speaking to the young kids, young boys and girls, about the Moosehide campaign and about what it signifies, and that we are wanting to stand up against violence towards women, girls, and children, and our LGBTQ members as well, right? So we can't forget those folks. And There's been over a million Moosehide campaigns given and presented. As you notice myself, I'm wearing a pin today as well. And it's just been phenomenal to be able to go into the schools and educate our young boys about this. And, you know, things may be chaotic at home, but we're giving them the education and showing them that that is not the norm, and that it can be stopped. So by engaging with the Moosehide campaign, hopefully we can prevent further domestic violence situations.
You know what? At MAPS, we always say that very few people do not know a relative or a coworker or a friend who has not experienced or at least witnessed some form of violence in their home. So it's one of those things that impacts everyone, and I think everyone needs to be involved in this. What have been some of the reactions from some of the kids that you've seen when you present this information?
In my presentation, it's quite... I personally get a lump in my throat when I'm actually presenting this to the kids, like especially talking about approximately every six days a woman in Canada is killed by her intimate partner. That was presented by StatsCan, and at least one in four women attending college or university in Canada will be sexually assaulted by the time they graduate. And then in 2014, there was a daily average of 7,969 women and children staying in shelters across Canada because it wasn't safe to be at home.
Wow.
So just stating those kind of things. Indigenous women are killed at six times the rate of non-Indigenous women, and the rate of domestic violence more likely higher than we know, as 70% of spousal violence is not being reported. So 70% is not being reported. It's a huge, huge number. Some other stats there is 71% of the reported family violence cases included physical assault. More than half, 54% of children and young victims of violence, family violence, and 72% of seniors and 75% of intimate partner victims reported being physically assaulted. So it's quite staggering, those numbers, and sharing it with the young kids. And I like to play an honor song when we go there, and we have all the kids stand up at the end and kind of take a stand. And I distribute the pins to the staff and to the kids. And then it starts a conversation.
Right.
And saying, hey, what is that pin for? What does that pin represent? And you can see mine is rather aged and worn, but, you know, I'm proud of wearing the pin every day and having those conversations with people.
I tell you, thank you for the work you're doing. And I have to say, with the Moosehide campaign, the one thing that I've always been impressed with, it is just an easy way for everyone to be involved in this issue. I applaud the people that started it, but the great thing is about how engaging it can be. Rob, for any groups or any schools or anyone that wants to talk about the Moosehide campaign, or even wants to talk about gender-based violence, they're free to contact you. I have your number down here at the main office at 677-6909. Okay, that's great. You know, we can continue to talk about this for a long time, but I know our time is coming to an end. I do want to once again thank Special Constable Rob Cleveland of the RCMP. Once again, his number is 677-6909. Family Matters will be airing at 11 a.m. every second Wednesday. Our next show, actually, we'll have a guest talking about his road to recovery from addictions. Until then, I just want to ask everyone to stay safe during this current third wave of the pandemic. And thank you for joining us for Family Matters.
Thank you.
Good day.